Good morning, guys. Welcome to another episode of Vietnam Innovators. I'm your host, Hao Tran. Thank you for tuning in every week to support the channel, Vietnam Innovators and Vietcetera. Without you, the show would not be possible. Today's guest, his name is Brian Carroll. He's the CEO of TNEX, digital-only bank here in Vietnam. TNEX, mostly in Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City, been making quite a bit of ground and the secondary cities as well. Just started a couple years ago. But let's hear it from Brian before I go any further. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. It's as you know, I'm an admirer of the work that you guys are doing.
Thank
it's
you.
Really important. I had an unfulfilled ambition in my career. As you can see, I'm not exactly Gen Z, or maybe I was Gen Z first time round, to build a bank at scale. And a bank that would addresses the inclusion agenda. So I'd recently finished up for a major bank in Russia, and I decided now is the time for various drivers. And I looked and I looked and I looked, and I found Vietnam. The fundamentals, the quantitative fundamentals of Vietnam are almost a perfect storm for digital banking, digital owned banking, both geographically, both as we, you know, if we're looking at the population of Vietnam, particularly Gen Z, millennial, they're spending 6 hours and 38 minutes a day on digital media, massive phone penetration, which is currently about 148 million phone subscriptions. But what was the most important? That's okay. They're all quantitative. What was really, really interesting to me was one quantitative metric, which is that in 2025, it's estimated that 33% of the working age population in Vietnam is going to be Gen Z. Now that just blew me off my seat.
What is the global average?
Of young people? Not as high.
Or in markets like Russia that you worked in?
Market like Russia, it's older, okay? But if you look at all countries that go through these cycles. If I look at my country, Ireland, as you know, obviously looking from your past in San Francisco, because of these fundamentals, like FDI, like age, like education, like inquisitive nature, which comes with youth. And also, you know, this will be very open and honest, you know, a history that has forced innovation. And I come from a country where history that forced innovation, we had to innovate. We had times that were quite difficult. So in Ireland, you know, the key for Ireland becoming a kind of a mini Silicon Valley in Europe, we're very similar to the fundamentals that I saw here, which is young, inquisitive, educated population, a government, you know, that's pro-digital. This was, you know, my decision. And literally I got off a plane with a suitcase and on the streets of Hanoi and said, right, now I know the quantitative elements. And I have this amazing shining star called the youth of Vietnam who are digitally obsessed. What was I going to do with it? Gen Z is probably the most misunderstood generation by business leaders in the world. Why? Because business leaders are older and the pace of change has been so quick that it's very hard for them to understand. So if you talk, I've been on many boards across the world, many fintechs across the world. If you ask each person why people don't have a bank account, and as we know, Vietnam is arguably the most unbanked country in Southeast Asia, with an estimated 59 to 61 million people unbanked or underbanked. If you say to a banker, typically, the problem with banking is they look at it completely different. They look at it with a product basis, okay? Why is this digitally obsessed population that lives on their mobile phones, you're looking at the old tech of Facebook now, but even then you're what, 61 million people spending an hour plus a day, you know, 31 million people social trading at some stage, either on the buy or sell side. So why? What were the barriers? And I think the traditional barriers were there. It's too expensive. So if I say to you, your family has never had a bank account, the traditional banking model is quite simple. I'm the bank, you're the customer. Give me your money. There you go, thank you. Then I lend that money, obviously, out at a higher margin or profit. But then I charge you a fee for payments or ATM. I think the generation of Vietnam, because it's so entrepreneurial and so direct, so what? This young gentleman, why would I do that? Why would I have that everyday banking? Remember, most of the customers, and we're a Gen Z bank, our customers are not looking for mortgages. Obviously, that's a different use case to build up a credit rating. They're looking for support in their day-to-day lives. So what came out was relevancy. Banking was not relevant to their day-to-day lives. It at best was a kind of bank light wallet play, but that was relevant because they run on a discount model. Okay? I said to all of them, I got my staff together, and I said, we're going to start interviewing. And we're going to start talking and listening to as many young people as we possibly could. I backed that up with the fact that the average age of my 117 employees is 24.3 years old. Why? Because TNX is a bank for Gen Z, built by Gen Z.
How old was that?
24.3.
Wow. I thought my company was young.
Yeah, I'm not including me in the average. Sure. That might bring it up a little bit higher, okay? There's some strange things happening as well. Like 70% of my workforce are women, of my management team is women. Not because they're women, they just happen to be phenomenally innovative in this space. So we started and we found some very interesting things. And that's why TNX is a very, very unusual, not for me, but unusual for a traditional banking optic. When you log on to TNX, we ask you how you feel. Why do you feel good today? Did you eat well? Did you go for some exercise? And we allow you to track your emotional health. When you log on to TNX, we allow you to track your physical health. We spent 3 months designing an emoji set. Why? Because you have to find a way to talk to your customer that they understand. Tradition, you'd know from the US, I know from Europe and Middle East. Banks used to try and educate the customers in their language. We wanted to talk to our customers in a language they understood. So what we did is we came to the beautiful Ho Chi Minh and I talked to a gaming company, build me a UI UX, build me an interface. Now the poor CEO said, but dear Mr. Brian, we're a gaming company. And I said, I know, but I also know that our customer segment spend on average 1 hour and 15 minutes typically a day playing games. It's a language they understand. On the emoji, to go back to that, emoji is a language people use. It's almost a lingua franca across the internet. It transcends. It's the Esperanto, whereas Esperanto failed, we have emojis. But we wanted to find emojis to engender emotion. So we know that our customers typically end up at the end of the month eating noodle pots or because they just don't have enough money.
And how much money does the average TNX
It depends on north or south. Okay. In the north, it's typically $3,500 a year. Mm. And in the south, it's a little bit more, $3,800.
And how does that compare to other digital banks or banks in general?
That's a really good question because to target this segment with those inbuilt costs of branch, of cash movement, of people-heavy processes, there's no margin. Okay, there's a very skinny margin. Of course, in an economy that's growing like Vietnam very, 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 very quickly, there's more margin in looking at the construction deals or looking at the larger projects. So I don't blame traditional banks. They just can't make a profit at this segment. In order to make a profit at this segment, you've got to distribute, market, manufacture products at a cost that's impossible in a traditional bank. Because, of course, they've got the inbuilt cost of technical debt. Their architecture is old. That's why majority of the old banks here or traditional banks here are looking at transformation. Try to remove that. They have a branch model. It's a very expensive model. But we're talking about a digitally obsessed nation. They want it on their phone. They want the ability just as to order food, book a ticket. They want to do their banking. The biggest thing in banks that is nothing to do with technology, because we can fix that. That's money, okay? Now, and people, okay? Because we know old keys won't open new doors. So they're the keys, okay? Then you got to get the person who's going to open the key or find the door. And that's about culture. And I look at two risks for digital in Vietnam. Number one, common risk across the world, it doesn't matter if you're in Berlin, San Francisco, Dublin, London, Dubai, is talent. It's access to talent, digital talent. So I think the government, the universities, and industry need to play a large part in that. And the second one, which is even more difficult because traditional people don't understand the concept, which is working culture. What we're doing, digital is a world of continuous change. Traditional banking has arguably not changed since the 70s with an ATM, but interestingly, when we developed the ATM, we called it an automatic teller machine. We actually even called it a person to match the previous business model. But now it's changing so quickly. You need to have people that work with you that are innovators, that feel safe, that feel impassioned. But in digital, you can get it wrong really, really quickly and then pivot or learn and then go again with those learnings. So banks find it very hard. Traditional bankers find it very hard to move from a command and control, which works in a regimented model like an army or a traditional bank where the rules of engagement have been the same, to a place where the rules of engagement are consistently evolving. I run our business very, very simply. I run it on one premise. Best idea must win. I don't care if it's the most junior EKYC analyst or intern or one of my exec team. What I do get worried is if I find myself the most intelligent person in the room, then we all leave. So for me, it's really important that you allow people to interact in that way. And when you do, they feel safe and they start to innovate. I'm so proud to, you know, to launch. It is the first digital-only bank of Vietnam. But I'm also so proud to what I've learned here about innovation. The innovation I see on the day-to-day in the streets of Vietnam far excels what I'm seeing in London and Berlin and San Francisco. And it's a matter of giving these innovative, you know, citizens of Vietnam a culture, because you can't grow rice on cement. You've got to have that field of innovation. And that's a problem, because the generation running traditional banks have, of course, a business model that's successful, which is command and control. It's paint by numbers. It's 1, 2, 3. Look at the macroeconomics. Look at your capital allocation. Make sure you're aligned with the SPV and that you're being compliant. And you could pretty much make money. Banking's not so difficult thing. But you're moving to a thing where everything changes. So, for example, we recently launched something. And I think if we look at all innovation that's happened, you know, I was at the very start of digital in your hometown. Most of the things that are amazing in our digital interactions already exist. There's very few things that didn't, okay? But digital has improved them, made them more aligned, more, you know, more effective, more customer engaging than they were before.
So let me interrupt you for a second, Ryan. All of this sounds really fantastic. Everything that that TNEX is doing and the future. How many customers have been responding to the products, to digital banking in general? Have they embraced it? And do you expect that to continue?
Okay, so first, I don't agree with your first premise. I've seen things done with motorbikes here that stretch the realms of innovation. I've seen how people live their everyday lives. Okay, so the premise for true innovation you will find in frugality. Okay? So organizations paying eye-watering amounts of money to consulting companies to try and outsource that, they'll never succeed. It's impossible. It'll be me too at best. Okay? So frugality. Okay? Having to think around without money.
Being resourceful.
Being resourceful. Okay? Yeah. And if we look at great moments in history, you know, great times of difficulty across the world. That's when the great artists, the great music, the great leaders came out, because they innovated. So are we seeing a take up? At the start, no, because banking is based on trust. And nobody knew what a digital only bank was.
So offline, before we started recording here, at least to my notes, before going into today's podcast, I understand TNEX has around 500,000
We have nearly accounts, a million now.
Nearly a million
that was
now.
In December, yeah.
Okay, so the milestone was in December, and we're close to a million now. How are you guys acquiring these users? Are you doing marketing? Are you doing branding? We talked a little bit offline about your approach to that.
So you've actually put the success or failure of every digital business. Uh-huh. If we look at the unprofitable banks for the last many years in across Europe, the neobanks or the digital banks, like a Revolut, they're paying eye-watering amounts of money for acquisition. But of course, the rule in digital, if you pay 20 bucks or you pay $1 million for a customer, through the lifetime or through the year, you've got to at least make $1,000,010 or $1,000,033, depending, you know, dong. We're not a painted corporate. We're actually a fintech, and I have very strong investors who are demanding return, and I like that. So in Vietnam, you know, the affiliates pay a large part of that. But the problem with that model is it typically has a low engagement, okay? So you can take the option like most, which I see here, I see it all over the world, as I say to my team, I can build the biggest bank, biggest restaurant, biggest anything in the world, because if I pay you with $10,000 to join or to come and eat my food, it'll be full, okay? But that's not a loyalty. So we engage our users in many ways. Number one, you have to be product-led. You can never in any industry, particularly in digital, because it's so fast-moving, you can't force a product to market. So our product we started with product, and we made sure that product, all of our different dimensions, our marketplaces, our health, our money management, all of these aligned to what the customer actually needs. Because of course, at the very start, they don't want a bank. They don't want a traditional bank. If they did, then we wouldn't have an unbanked problem, okay? In the cities, so there's not even an urbanization rural issue for there, okay? So first on product. Then, you know, on the customer experience, that is interesting as well. We were the first to introduce free banking. Why? Because because my unit economics, how much, and my unit being customer, I can add 3 million customers, which we will hit probably at our current growth, probably by Q2 next year.
3 million.
At 3 million Q2 next year.
Does that make you the biggest digital bank in Vietnam?
I don't know. Your statistics and
downloads. Do you think about the competition?
No. What Cake is doing is amazing. I'm a big fan of those guys. What Timo did was, you know, was amazing. You know, they obviously they have some physical presence, but, you know, what they did was really, really brave. I'm actually huge supporters of digital. Why? Because we've got a problem. Almost as an adopted son of Vietnam at this stage, the problem for me is that unless we look at the underserved population, they are going to continue to have problems and experience predatory lending and you know inability to educate their children, because 3 million dong, and we're coming up to registration for university soon, is a very large amount of money for certain people in Vietnam.
It sounds like your competition is not actually other digital banks or even banks in general. I mean, in a way, but it's actually the unbanked. Would you say that?
My competition is for loyalty. Okay, so it's loyalty. How can I win the respect and loyalty of my customers?
Do customers or kind of banking customers in Vietnam, do they oftentimes have multiple banks? Do they stick to one? What is, I'm sure through your research.
It's quite interesting. In my segment, typically not.
They stick with one and they...
No. Typically, they never had a bank account.
Oh, never had
okay,
one.
Okay, so we look at, right now, I have 698,000 customers between 18 and 28. Mm-hmm. A lot of those customers never had a bank account.
Yeah.
So will they be promiscuous or move around to banks? I hope they do, because of course that challenges me as a digital guy, a banker, to actually make my product better. Because if they move once, they'll move back. Okay, then that's how you gender loyalty. You know, I get about 130 emails a week from customers because we have Right to CEO, which is also known as My Sunday, and it's gold. And we listen. And, you know, we don't get everything right, but we are very public. We will never, ever do anything to hurt our customers intentionally. You know, could I start lending at, let's say, call it predatory rates? I could, but we're not going to do that. We're using our data science. As you know, we're recognized as one of the most advanced digital platforms. And Vietnam should be proud of that. In Asia, we got into the top 100 digital banks in the world. And we've only really been trading for 16 months. So it's all about that whole commitment and to be purpose-driven, to be values-driven. Okay, Gen Z or young people have access to information that only would have been seen as the eighth wonder of the world in the past. You cannot, if you say you're going to do something, do it. If you don't, they'll know. The media, be it a social media or be it a community-based chat media, they will know. So we are very clear. We're a purpose, values driven. I will not tolerate anything that goes against our culture or values. But culture and values are like that. I had to build a team, critical mass. I haven't had a day off in a couple of years. That's not a complaint. You know the self. You're building your own business. But it's trying to find those people that have those values. And that's why we don't hire bankers. Not because they're bad people. Because it's hard to reprogram them. Okay? Very, very hard. And all the time. And also, they're typically too old. So, you know, I was talking to a major investment bank in the office the other day. They were coming in and they were asking what we were up to. And he said, well, what's your differentiator? And I just opened the office door and all they heard was laughter. And I said, that. He goes, point taken.
Let's take a closer look at TNX, too. You guys, new players to the scene. Let's look at the longevity of the company. It's been a year. Was it?
Yeah, year. 16, 17 months.
Yeah. And how big is the company now?
We have three people running it. If you go to a traditional bank, that's probably where it might be. Yeah. Our mid-office and our risk systems, they're all heavily automated using AIML by our data science team. So most of our model in a traditional bank, back office is down here and front office is up here. Yeah. We invert that. Because we've automated everything, the hard stuff in the past. So typically we would have, right now, about 121 employees. I wanted to be at about 142. Why? Because we're launching lending in Q3. Now, I'm really excited about it because we're trying to hit an interest rate using machine learning and partnerships with fintechs across Asia and in Latin America to get to a credit score that allows unbanked people to access fair credit. Because, of course, with traditional credit, you go to the credit bureau, they've never had a bank account. So, therefore, you charge them a flat, high rate because of probability of default. Doesn't matter if they're really, really good people or they're going to default on purpose. So what we are doing at the moment is right now, and it's very, very busy in the office, is we're training the TNX credit decisioning engine. Because we have so much data about it, where our customers, how physically fit are they? How mentally fit are they? How do they spend? How emotionally fit? All of this data is coming in. But we're also, taking that data and running some very advanced, mostly linear and regression algorithms across it to actually work out a probability default, which then allows us, of course, to lend safely, because it's easy to lend, it's hard to get back, as you know, if you've ever lent something to one of those friends. And and it gives our customers the ability to not have to be afraid when they borrow. Okay? Because either way, if you're in those type of cash loans, people are going to pursue you for that money. Now, of course, everyone has an obligation to pay it back. But my point is they should never have been lent the money in the first place. So banks have obligations for giving, not just for taking back, okay? So it's really, really exciting. We've such a talented team in data science. Not only their talent, they're great friends. I love going there to feel how stupid I am. If I think I'm intelligent, go talk to the data scientists and I leave and I know I'm not.
I think we need to do an inside look at TNX.
It seems like a very lean, efficient
operation.
Well, because we had to, it was frugal. Mm. So our CAC is $2.50.
And tell me about the frugality, you know, talking about resourcefulness. You know, you mentioned the consumer, your customers are kind of in that group. At the company level, and I'll be honest with you, TNEX, it kind of came out of nowhere for me. And I look at the tech scene quite a bit. And I say that in a good way. I mean, It kind of, I'm sure you guys were building for some time before it launched. And at the same time, you know, you said earlier, you guys haven't done too much branding and marketing, if not any, at least spending wise. Tell me more about how the business started. Obviously, you're the CEO, you're part of the founding team, you led the ideation of this whole business. Who's backing it? What? How did you guys get
and we
the
have,
funding?
We have a major shareholder in TNG Group.
Yeah.
And obviously, we have funding from them. Mm.
And TNG Group, if you could just kind of
they're
share.
They're a large conglomerate in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And their chairman was brave enough because, you know, there were no cake. There was none of this here. We were talking about things that are, and at digital speed, weeks or months and months or years, okay? But he was brave enough to invest in what we are doing, which is we're a bank that looks at people's lifestyles, not just at their wallets. And that method of interaction, that embedded finance or that lifestyle banking or that invisible banking is very strange, you know, to traditional banking. That's where the world is going right now. Banks are becoming less and less. Banks are there to enable. Banks aren't the reason. So in TNEX, everything starts with second part of the sentence. If you ask any of the guys, no one in the history of mankind has said, I want a loan, full stop. It's what do you want that loan for? To fix my roof, to educate my children, you know. And we concentrate on that and we chase the sentence to the second part and we build for that. And in order to do that, you know, we've six platforms. We just didn't launch a bank. The bank's in the middle. That's our hero product, okay? But we've six platforms around that, from education to advice platforms to health platforms to a full merchant marketplace where we've enabled micro merchants who serve our Gen Z with arguably a better product than Shopify. So we've been building around that, okay? Because that's where the relevance is, okay? That's where relevance is. Banking on its own is not relevant. Why? If it was, number one, both from our quantitative, qualitative, and face-to-face, customers don't need that, okay? They don't need that. They need something that supports their lifestyles. And we're seeing this across the world. And we're seeing the emergence of banking as a service and all of these tools that allow fintechs to, you know, disintermediate, allow them to disrupt, allow them to decompose these services, okay? Because right now, you know, I could build a bank in 6 months. Doesn't mean it's going to be successful. It's about how you use that tool, the data, the science, how you personalize, how you know your customer, how do you get that intimacy, that loyalty? But most importantly, how do you surround yourself with people that have the same values? You know, our value is simple. We will not hurt our customers. We want to support their lives holistically. I will never launch a product, regardless if it makes me loads of money, if it hurts the customer. And okay, and that type of talk in a banking environment, typically, you know, you're kind of seen as a little bit strange. Now, I've been on banking, I've been on both sides.
What's the big vision for TNEX over the next 5 to 10 years? You mentioned milestone could be 3 million accounts within a pretty short amount of time.
Yeah, right, we're trending very well against all of our KPIs. Mm-hmm. When you look at any, when you look at a particularly digital finance, there's two phases. And it's the ones that don't get to the second phase that lose.
What is that second phase?
Well, the first phase is build.
Okay.
Engage your customers at the right CAC. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you're only setting a profit problem otherwise if you're overspending. But also the right level of engagement. And TNEX has the best cohort engagement in Vietnam of any financial platform, of any banking financial platform. Okay. So we got that right. And that's hard because you've got to be able to do that at scale. Like we've grown nearly 90% year on year. This year, we're only 6 months, okay? So the business is scaling really, really well. Then you've got the second. So now what we have done is we've gathered so much data that we can now use that data to go into new lines, new business, new areas of income generation, both for TeenX, but also, you know, for customer. There will be a platform in Q1, which I think will revolutionize the gig economy in Vietnam. I'm not going to tell you, but I guarantee you'll be one of the first to know. Yeah. That brings me to that second phase is all about data. And I'm not talking about the silly, often management consulting PowerPoint view of it. I'm talking about the real view of it. It's back to the future. It's getting into the DeLorean. Okay? Because when you went to a bank many, many years ago, down the Bay Area or in Dublin or whatever, the bank manager knew you, knew your family, knew what you did, knew how creditworthy, knew what your uncle did, probably knew what, you know, the bar that your dad was in the night before. Because he had masses of data and he could personalize that. But also there's so many other business cases that can come from this data. But if you look at a traditional bank, they see data as a liability, as a cost. It sits on a database and I got to buy more servers. That ability to leverage that data environment, that data economy, which is still nascent, it's still very young here, is going to be a huge part of the journey, okay? Because we can personalize and we can do good.
Personalization and doing good. You're a bank financial, obviously, but you mentioned earlier you're one of the few, if not only, in Vietnam that asks how people are feeling and how they're doing. It sounds like health is an integration into that. I've never used TeenX. Well, I should try it out.
You should try it out.
I'm admitting right now openly.
But we believe in total wellness.
I'm not exactly a target market, I guess you could say, but.
You have a lot more target than I am.
There we go.
So there you go. We're about wellness, okay? We're about supporting a lifestyle. And banking appears when you need it. For example, when we are launching health insurance, okay? If I see you're an active person, I can reduce your premium, okay? Because you're a healthy person. So all of this data that we're gathering is feeding in and allowing us to personalize those experiences. Because remember, we have a circle of experiences. In the middle is banking, and people enter through this ecosystem. Or, you know, I suppose let's define ecosystem. An ecosystem in biology is everything you need to live your life. What we, in our circle, or our everything you need, we're trying to match that to the youth of Vietnam. And we're doing a good job. We've got 140,000 people tracking their mental health with us on a monthly basis. You know, tracking their physical health, financial health. You know, we have our own chat channel, for example, in the app. So they're creating community and talking and themes. We've vitamin T, as we call it, vitamin TeenX, which appears to give you advice when you know, on your physical, mental, or financial. And that has been a huge success. So, you know, you want to know about investments, you want to know about heart disease, you want to know about whatever. That almost blog on steroids that we have, because it's focused, has been really, really successful. So,
well, that's been quite the overview, Ryan. I always like to end our podcast with a little bit of a plug for the companies that are involved. And you mentioned it before, but are you guys hiring, and for what kind of roles are you hiring? And more importantly, what kind of culture is at TeenX, so people can kind of paint a picture and maybe reach out?
Okay, yeah, we're always looking for...
Aside from the age, I know the age is very clear and people laugh at the office, but that's about it.
Well, you know what? There are two very, very important parts of work culture is that you enjoy and that you respect it. TeenX is an enjoyable place to work. Respect is given to everybody, but we hold our protection around our values very strongly, because how we treat each other is how we treat our customer. And we want to treat our customer. We do not have a different culture than what we say about how we treat our customer. We treat each other with respect. The best idea must win and will be listened to. Everyone's got a voice. Everyone knows me. I don't even have a desk anymore because we grew too quickly. I literally wander around trying to find a place to sit. But what I actually like is, you know, I'm a CEO of a, you know, relatively successful young fintech. I sat down at someone's desk the other day and the girl comes up to me and goes, that's my desk, Brian. In a traditional culture, no one's going to tell the CEO to get up. And I love what we're seeing there. So we're always looking for innovative people. We're looking for people who want to make a difference, particularly to bring better lifestyles and to the young people of Vietnam. And we, you know, it's not just about banking. The biggest risk here, of course, It's the same as Berlin, as I said, same as everywhere in the world. It's getting the right talent. We train. And by the way, there is no training course for fintech. You cannot go to university for fintech.
Yeah, it's too new to...
No, you forget it. It moves. It's about a way of thinking. Mm-hmm. It's about failing lots of times. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, it's more about the failure than the success many times. But you fail fast and you fail forward, okay? Mm. So it's not always fun to fail. And in certain cases, I'm not happy about the failure, but we generate that type of culture. So I'm open to everybody. My email is public. It's briancarrollpc@tnex.com.vn. Everyone has access to me, customers. Because if the customers are going to trust me with their hard-earned money and to help them with their financial futures or their lifestyle, well, of course, I've got to make the effort as well to make sure that I respond with equal amount of passion as they're writing. So please feel free. I suppose lastly, you know, to leave you with a little bit of a war story, I remember our main investor came to the building and... my three designers, first designers were there. Let's say they got a lot of ink. They got a lot of tat. And my poor investor just went, "You work with Brian, don't you?"
Yeah.
And they went, "Yeah." So
okay.
We have a culture. And lastly, the culture is evolving. And it only evolves if you bring in better people. So anyone out there who's looking to go on a journey in digital, please feel free to send on the CV.
Amazing. Well, everyone, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Vietnam Innovators. Today's episode with Brian Carroll, CEO of TNEX, digital bank based in Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City, but all over the country. They're hiring. You heard from him. Grab his email address. Send him as many emails as possible with all your questions. Sign up for TNEX. I will as well, just try it out. Brian, it's been a pleasure having you in the show and learning about the fintech landscape, digital banking, what young people are thinking these days. I love the approach from a sociological, psychological mm-hmm. point of view to understand what young people really want, the gaming integrations, emoticons. I love emoticons. Thank you so much, Brian. We look forward to having you or your team on the show again in the near future.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. Pleasure. See you guys. Goodbye. Being the best digital-only bank in Vietnam in 2022, as recognized by the Asian Banker, TNEX offers free banking services and different experiences for Vietnamese people. At the same time, TNEX is the only bank to provide a feature to help customers manage their comprehensive health, including financial, physical, and emotional health, with the belief that a healthy community is a prosperous community. You can also check out the video version of this podcast on our other platforms such as YouTube and Facebook. New episodes are out every week, so don't forget to subscribe to Vietcetera's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube channel for more interesting content.